Listeners, welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'. Hope you're having a great Monday or whatever day of the week it is you're listening to our super fun and informative show. I'm Lo. I'm here with Greta and Jilly. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. If it's your first time tuning in, thank you so much. Give us a subscribe. We hang out and talk about stuff that matters to us. And today on the show, we have one of my very good friends. She is Brazilian and she is beautiful.
Did you say Brazilian? Like, yeah. Brazilian and Brazilian?
I have a Brazilian bikini wax.
Amazing. Yeah. It's I love that.
You're literally Brazilian.
Yeah. Many definitions to Brazilian. It's Nicole Lappin.
Hey.
Hi. Nicole.
Hi, bitches.
Hi. Nicole is a New York Times bestselling author of Rich Bitch. She is a money expert, and she is the host of Hatched on the CW. So welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you, my lovelies.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to all be sitting here together with you today.
Me too.
I'm so happy you could come on our show.
I'm happier.
What a fancy girl to have on our show.
I know. I was just like, it's not all the time that we get a New York Times bestselling author on the show to talk to us about, you know, what matters to all of us, money.
That cash, honey.
That cash, money. Give me the money, honey.
Yeah. So today's episode, we want to learn from Nicole about how to save all of our money, what to do if you're poor, how to not be poor.
What to do if you're rich too, Lo. We can't, this is not just.
What to do if you're rich.
What to do if you make a medium amount of money. Just what to do when you.
How to invest.
What to do when you're around money.
How to invest money. How to.
So many
how
questions.
How to work your money. How to make your dollar work for you.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, a lot of people. It's not like you're taught this in school unless you take a class specifically on, like, economics.
I think that economics should be mandatory.
But it's not. No, no. We took economics, and we learned the Pythagorean theorem. But, like, who the fuck? Am I allowed to say fuck?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Who the fuck needs the Pythagorean theorem? Like, we learned this stuff in theory. Like, in college, I took economics classes.
I did not. I went to art school. So, for me, I'm, like, a total, like, oh, it's $20. I'll make $20 eventually again one day. So, that's, like, my mentality with money, which is terrible.
I'm like, oh, a 401k? Like, do I need that?
Yeah. Well, the thing we don't learn it in school. It's bananas. Like, it's ridiculous that we're not taught this stuff and we're taught, like, all this random shit that we're never going to use again. And, like, we're not taught anything about taxes or budgets or, hello, like, the most important things that we should be learning. Right. Like, it should be illegal to get a degree. Like, I went to fancy Northwestern. Like, hello, like, I left. I had a boyfriend who said he wanted to be a hedge fund manager. I thought that dude wanted to be in gardening. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a joke. Like, I was so clueless. My former self was so clueless about money. Like, I am the least likely person to be a financial expert.
But what made you, how did you become a financial expert then if you were so
clueless?
Yeah.
So this guy was the beginning of the financial expert land because he dumped me because I couldn't hang out with his Wall Street friends. And I think they want to hang out with me now. I'm just saying.
But he dumped you because you didn't know what they were talking about?
Exactly.
So you went all like Elle Woods on his ass.
Brunette version. Yeah. Wow. Right? And so, like, who wants to hang out with me now?
Everybody.
Bitches.
Everyone.
So, right? But the thing is, I had to work really early on. Lo knows this. Like, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Like, I didn't work at a bank. Like, I'm super straight up and honest. Like, I started working early in television to get a job. And I was offered a job at a television station in Chicago. And the only one they had was in business news. And so they're like, hey, Lappin, how about a job on the Chicago Merck floor, which is like the stock exchange in Chicago? You know stuff about business, right? I'm 18 at the time. And I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely, totally love business. Like, I was freaked out, but I figured it out. And so I was thrown into the deep end of this business world. And what I realized is that money and business is just a language like anything else. There just wasn't a Rosetta Stone for that language.
Yeah.
And when I could speak that language, I was like, this isn't complicated. Like, if you went to China and you didn't speak Chinese, you would be really confused. We just never learn this language. So that was my jam. That was my goal, is to be the Rosetta Stone for this world, because I don't speak in the jargony stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting what you guys even say about like 401k, because when you get your first job after college, if it is at a big company, usually you're presented with all this paperwork and you're signing off right away, like how much money you want to put away and all this sort of thing. And you're like, I have no idea what any of this means.
How much you want to put in like your medical tax
free. Exactly. Or just like how much you really should be saving from your paycheck. And all that's like super important, especially to start it out at an early age, as opposed to like, you know, going through your 20s and sort of just like going with the flow. And then you're 30 and you're like, okay, I need to start saving money. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think it's great for everyone to learn this at an early age.
I think that's right. For me, as I went through my career and I ended up speaking the language to the world, I was on like fancy business news networks and stuff like that. And, you know, I realized that there was a void in talking to younger people about money mm-hmm. in a way that felt like something you could actually manage, because this sort of savings and like scare tactics of like, don't buy a latte, meanwhile I'm sitting here with my venti latte, doesn't work. Like, I say buy a latte, like I'm the only financial person that says buy your fucking latte and rent, maybe, because otherwise we've been hearing for so long like, get a 401k, buy a house, like rah, 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 rah. And it felt like the peanuts gallery, and I was like, no, there has to be a better way, especially with young people. Like, do you guys even have a 401k?
I do not have a 401k.
I had one when I was working at CAA.
Yeah.
Creative Artists Agency, but I don't really know. Like, I was very confused, and basically I just had to like call my dad and be like, Dad, explain everything to me and what does all this mean? And I still didn't get as clear of a idea about it. But
the thing is that a lot of young people are working for themselves. Like, there's this boss right. mentality happening, and 401ks aren't even an option. So for me, it was important to even change that dialogue to say like, okay, 401k is the darling, but there's a boatload of other retirement options. And in fact, a lot of people don't even have a 401k option. Like, if you're starting a podcast or a blog or nobody has a 401k.
Or if you're selling like items on Etsy and like
totally.
That's your small business or whatever.
Totally. And then in that case, like, everyone should have an IRA. Like, an IRA is a way.
That's what I have.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah.
Retirement fund.
See, Lo doesn't even know what she has over here.
I only know what any of these things are because my mom died. And when my mom died, we were left to sort out a ton of financial shit that happens when people die and the different accounts that you have and all of this stuff. And still, none of it really makes that much sense to me. And the only thing that I kind of have a grasp on are taxes. And that's like it.
Right.
Yeah, taxes Muscle. I'm good
That's
with.
That's good.
Yeah, taxes.
Really? Good.
I'm so, Jillie and I think are both paranoid that we're going to go to jail. So we're like, oh, yeah, just pay it.
I'm like, oh my God, tax fraud. Like, I got to just figure this out.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I love my accountant. She's my homie. And she's I call her all the time.
Yeah, girl.
Asking her questions.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, like, I really want to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, I don't know enough about what to invest in or, like, all that stuff. And I know that talking to some of my family members or whatever, you don't necessarily need like a shitload of money to invest in something, right?
No, you don't. But let's step back. Like, okay, ladies, retirement, investing, blah, 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 buying a house. Okay, so like the basic thing for Rich Bitch, I did it in a 12-step program.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, break it down.
Let's break it down to the basics. Walk us through the steps.
Like any other 12-step recovery program, the first step is all together, my bitches.
What do we say?
I have a problem.
I have a problem.
I have a problem. I had a lot of problems. I still have problems. Like, we all have problems.
Yeah.
And that's actually, like, all bullshit aside, that is the first step.
I have a problem. I live outside of my means.
Great.
I live way beyond
Jillie,
my means.
What's your problem?
Same.
Yeah.
Well, my problem is just I spend too much money on stuff that I don't need to spend money on. Like, I waste too much money.
But that's not necessarily the case. Maybe you just need to change your mindset, because changing your mindset about money to come from an aspirational sense versus a deprivational sense, your finances will follow. Because, like, hello, Captain Obvious, if you make more money, then you don't need to save more money.
Well, that's the thing, is I feel like I'm making more money, but, like, I'm not seeing money up in my savings. You know what I mean?
The next step.
Wait, don't you want to know my problem?
Girl,
yeah,
I know you got
what is your problem?
What's your problem, love?
My problem is, not that I have so much money, but I don't know, like Greta, I don't know what to do with my money. And I have never taken the time to educate myself on what I should be doing.
Like in terms of like investing
yeah,
it or like
investing,
how, right.
saving
like how
for
you
the
could
future.
See a return or
exactly.
something like that.
How do I save enough money to buy a house? Like that's
yeah. like
problem.
That seems so crazy when I think about saving up large sums of money to like how would I have a child and send my child to school
right.
like how would I pay for like well, I just don't get
I think it.
It
goes back to even like when you're losing weight it's like you're if you're trying to lose like if you're like okay I need to lose like 30 pounds or something like that number scares you but like the smaller amount is like
girl
easier,
that's why I made a fucking
know?
Step program
exactly.
And I talk a lot about the idea of financial dieting being a lot like a regular diet.
Yeah.
If you allow yourself small indulgences, you won't binge later on, which is why I tell people buy your latte in the morning and don't binge on like a pair of Louboutins because you feel so hungry and so
yeah.
deprived. So like when people come out of the gate in the beginning of the year and they're like, okay, well, I'm getting my financial shit together now. I'm going to cut everything out cold turkey. There's no lattes, no fun,
yeah.
no nothing. Like what happens a couple months later is you go binge on something crazy and you're in like a terrible financial situation. Whereas if you just plan, like all this stuff is easily done if you just plan
yeah.
and break it down into baby chunks and baby steps and say, I'm going to buy my morning latte, you know, and I make the case for the morning latte because I get to work earlier. I have a pep in my step. It is the equivalent of a financial Hershey's kiss. So like in a regular diet, when you go on some crazy fad diet, like an Atkins or a juice cleanse or like a whatever, like you're so starved, like you're going to binge on something later on. Versus if you give yourself like a Hershey's kiss, you won't end up in the middle of the night noshing on a big old hunk of chocolate cake because you feel so hungry and so starved. So this is a financial spending plan in the same way as an eating plan is something really sustainable versus a budget, which is also scary and like a financial diet, like crash thing that you can't stick to.
Yeah.
So, okay. So step one is admitting that you have a problem. Step two is
coming up with a spending plan. So
okay.
what we just talked about.
I need to do that. Sorry.
No, you got it, girl. Let's do it.
I need
Let's
you too.
Do it right
I spend
now.
Way too much money eating. I don't, when I go grocery shopping, I find that I have so much more money in my bank account and I eat out all the time. Living in New York, it's so easy to just like grab a salad here, grab a coffee there, go over here, meet there. And like all of us, we all work for ourselves.
Yeah.
We all work from home. So it's like, I spend way too much fucking money on eating out and fucking coffee.
Fucking coffee.
I fuck coffee.
The interesting thing.
That coffee.
The interesting thing for me is I feel like I have a ton of business expenses. Like a ton of business expenses that I would like to reduce.
What?
For example, travel. Like every time I have a meeting or I have need to like fly to LA or if I'm DJing and like it's out of, you know, there's like that. And then there's the clothing that I have to buy for the DJ gigs, for the events and the hair. You know what I mean? Like there's so much that goes
but
in
I do
to all
think-
of that, as well as like with like building your own website and keeping maintaining that and keeping those like analytics and just having.
Those are costs though that you can't do anything about.
For
you
sure.
You have to figure out how to write them off on your taxes.
Well, you
Definitely.
Have a, like a separate company, right?
Yeah. I do, but I just feel like my business expenses keep getting more as I keep expanding. Like even if when I want to, you know, start making videos and they're just, you know, to get out there to get to sort of get seen or heard, it's like that stuff that I'm paying for myself.
Okay, bitches,
you know?
So it's time for a plan. Okay, we break it down to the three E's. Who's excited?
Me.
I love alliteration.
I'm excited.
I love swearing and sarcasm and sunshine.
Good.
And alliteration. That's like I had a dating profile for a while and it asked me for my little bio and that's what it said. So the three E's: essentials, end game, and extras.
Okay.
So of your spending plan, 70% goes to the essentials.
So the essentials being
food,
housing,
rent.
Yeah. Bills, transportation, all the shit you need to like live on.
Right.
Every day.
Cleaning supplies.
Keep it to 70%, whatever it is, like roughly. So in New York, you're going to have less on transportation, but you might have more on housing.
Right.
So like it's a rough amount because I typically say no more than half of that, which is 35% of your overall spending plan should go to housing.
Okay.
Like people blow it on housing a lot, but you have to sort of make sure there's wiggle room in other places.
Okay.
So 35% goes to
housing.
Housing.
And then the rest of it to everything else.
The rest of your essentials.
So the rest of the 70%. So of the 70%, 35%
no more than half, ideally.
So like, in those essentials, do you include like cutting your hair?
Yeah.
Okay, so stuff like that.
I mean,
that
it's not like a
like blowout, maintenance,
but yeah.
Yeah, but I just mean there are things like that. Like, you do have to factor in even getting your nails done if that's something that you do. Is that an essential or is
that's
that a plus?
An extra, sister? So extras are extras are 15%.
So extras would be like extra steps of maintenance that you don't necessarily need.
Yeah.
Like your nails, getting your makeup done, getting your hair done,
getting
all these things you don't.
Going to 20 SoulCycle classes instead of the free classes at your gym.
Right.
Or going outside and fucking running on the Rustline Highway.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. And then 15% to your end game. And 15%
your savings.
Yeah, girl. You say it like it's a bad thing. Like you smelled
like
something bad.
Mark.
Like it's savings or anything you're spending on for your future self. So I actually don't like to think of it as savings. I like to think of it as spending on the future you. So the future Jilly, the future Greta, the future Lo. Like, what does she want to do? Does she want to go on a vacation to Mexico? Does she want to, you know, have a badass retirement? What does she want to do? So I think it's just flipping your mindset a little bit.
I have a mentality, and this is probably bad, where like, obviously I want to have money to retire. I'm putting retire in air quotes because I don't know what that would look like. But I also kind of feel like, well, if I'm young and if I can travel now, I should like use that money to experience these things while like I'm an able-bodied person. Is that a bad mentality?
Why can't you do both though? Like, why can't you say,
I mean, I guess you can. You can do both.
Yeah, you could also just do like something lighter traveling and like something lighter traveling in the future as opposed to like nothing now and only in the future.
But then I just think, well, what if I die when by the time I'm 60 and then
you're what ifing.
That's
yeah,
true.
Lo does not like a what-if-er.
I know, it's true.
What is? This what is what it is. And so breaking it down into having, like, some sort of rubric is so much easier because, like, I feel your lady's, like, brains, like, exploding with, like, so much shit running around. Like, retirement and housing, blah, blah, blah. Like, just break it down, okay? So it's, like, 15% of what you're bringing in. Like, put that, figure out what do you want.
Okay.
Like,
so we're at 75%.
No, sister. So 70%
for 70% for essentials.
15% for extras.
Got it.
The latte, the SoulCycle, whatever.
And then
15% for the end game.
Got it.
So 15% towards saving or whatever. And the best way to do that is through automatic deposit or coming up with sub savings accounts.
Right.
Those are my favorite.
What are sub savings accounts?
So like figure out what you want first, which actually was a step before this, which we should have gone over. No. F's are coming up, so get excited for the three F's.
I am.
That's figuring out what you want. What do you want out of your family life? What do you want out of your fun life? What do you want about your finance life? Like, in you have to answer these basic questions before you can do anything else. Like, the question that gave me the most anxiety ever was, what do you want? Like, it's such a little booger of a question, but women who don't actually have an answer to that question are more likely to be unsuccessful.
Yeah.
Studies have shown that women who create cohesive narratives around their lives are more likely to be successful and actually answer that question. So if you figure out what you want out of your end game, then you create sub savings accounts in your bank account that's literally say like Lowe's summer vacation, and that's the fund that's going towards. So you can visualize exactly what it's going to. It's not like a dark abyss of.
So can I create these sub savings account just like in my normal bank account?
Yeah, girl.
And I can create a little account that says like Greta's happy times.
Totally. Or Greta's travel.
I have a Nicole Lappin's iPhone fund.
Love
$20
that.
A month, every month, automatically deposits into that fund. So inevitably, when I break my iPhone, there's enough money there.
I love it.
Whoa, I want. How do I set this up?
Then I don't
up.
Have like anxiety.
Online?
Just call your bank or set it up online. I don't know what.
That's a great idea.
I use Bank of America.
Idea. Yeah. So like, I don't know what the people.
I was like, can you tell me the actual steps when I do when I call the number?
Like, when I log in.
She's like, here's my login. Can you do it for me?
And like, my bank account number is.
Yeah, girl. Yeah, it's so easy. And I've met the crazy, like, technician people that look behind the scenes of mine probably think I'm insane for having so many. Like, I get a little crazy with my sub-savings accounts. But it puts, like, a name to what you're doing. So it's not
really
like...
Interesting. I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
You're visualizing what it's going toward and not like, oh, I know it's the savings. It's like another bill. Like, I don't want to pay more money. But you're like, oh no, I actually really want to go to Bali or.
Right. I find that when the money's just like sitting in my checking account, I just, it
gives
doesn't
me
go,
anxiety.
It doesn't go towards anything of value. You know what I mean? It doesn't go towards, you know, the vacation to Bali or retirement or the new house. It just gets spent. And like, I don't even see it leave. You know, I have a problem with like logging into my bank account to see how much money's in there.
So much anxiety.
I'm so afraid.
Yeah, me too. Sometimes I just don't do it.
It's okay.
There's a really funny meme that's going around right now, and it's basically this guy that's handing over a credit card, and the caption is like, "My credit card starting to look to seem like a gift card. I don't know how much money's on it, but we'll try."
Yeah.
Which is like, it's scary, but I feel like there's a mindset. I mean, from some people that I know, where it's like you just don't want to know.
Yeah,
like, I know I'm spending too much and I don't want to know like that I did that.
So what I say to that is being, you know, budgeting sucks, but so does being broke.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Being broke sucks.
That sucks. Like, yes, it sucks to like open up your bank account app. Yeah, that sucks. Sorry, not sorry. Like what sucks more is being homeless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry.
So wait, are we at
let's
step,
not mince words.
Are what we still step on are we step on two?
Where's my fucking book? Do you have it somewhere? Yeah. So step three is coming up with the three F's. We love F words, right?
Fuck, yay. Friends, family.
Yeah. So
followers.
Followers.
Just
followers. Favorites.
So finance, family, and fun. And so it's coming up with your goals in all aspects of your life for a well-rounded
That family life. One is scary.
It's the scariest one for me too, sister. It's
really? I don't, family, I'm like me.
You don't want to.
Greta's not there yet.
I don't,
but
I
do
don't
you
know.
Want it? Like,
I don't know.
Well,
I
should
I don't think I should know.
Yeah, you should.
No, I shouldn't.
Because,
because for me, like, for me, I'm very focused on my career. Like, I would rather have a successful career than have a family. For me.
In your
I felt
whole life.
That way yes. at your age.
I felt that way, too. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Yeah.
But
in my
I
book,
felt the exact same
exact
way.
Same
and
situation.
Recently, this year is the first year that I felt different.
Maybe I will feel different. I'm very open to feeling different. But for me, I just, like, I don't know. It could be having a dead mom and a fucked up family that makes me psychologically scared, probably a little bit. But I don't know if I really want to have children. I don't know if I want that. And I don't think I should feel bad about not wanting kids.
You shouldn't feel bad about not wanting kids. You should feel bad about not answering the question for yourself and doing enough soul searching and actually writing down what it is you want. Because that is the biggest inhibitor to your success, because actually family has more to do with doing well in your career than anything else, which is why I froze my eggs at 31. Because when I was 25 and on network television, and I had a mentor, Mika Brzezinski, on Morning Joe, who said to me, called me one morning and invited me on our show and said, "Do you want to get married?" And I said, "Mika, like, first of all, I thought you'd never ask. You're hot." But I was 26. I think I was 26 at the time. And I said, "I don't know." I said the exact same thing to her.
Like,
and,
"I don't know."
But I said, "I want to focus on my career." And she's like, "You need to focus as much time in figuring out what you want out of your dating life and your family life as you do your career. You need to be as serious about it." And I was like, "I don't know. I'm just like, maybe I'm dating, maybe I'm not. Like, how can I put a time stamp on like when I want to get married? I'm not going
to
be that
girl."
Do
you suggest that to people? Like,
absolutely.
Do you suggest people need to put a time stamp on when they get married? But what if it doesn't?
But it changes. But the plan changes. But you need a direction. Like, it's like saying you're going to a party in Los Angeles, but not knowing the address. Like, where are you going, sister? And like, that plan changes all the time.
Yeah.
But like, you need a roadmap. And I revisit these goals all the time. I do 1, 3, 5, 7, 10-year goals because it feels more manageable than
See,
like
I guess
five and 10.
I just can't even conceptualize planning a 10-year goal.
Okay, but it's not like you're thinking about a goal as sort of being like something, okay, I'm going to get married by the time I'm 36. This doesn't need to be like that, but you need to have a direction of where you're going. Like the first time I did this, I was 26 or 7, and I wrote down year one, like, make time for dates. That's like literally all I wrote down when it came to family time. But that affects your finances too.
Right.
Like,
definitely.
Absolutely. Or
like, I'm like, I need that blowout when I have that date that I want to go on.
Exactly. Like, and you need to know, is that a priority for you? Or is there something else that you're going to be spending money on?
Right.
Or year three, like for me, all I did was because I was working an early morning show. And so my goals for my family life, like, were so basic. They were like, make time for dates even when you're exhausted. So, like, it changed from, like, I need to try to make time and, like, try to be in a relationship. It wasn't even, like, having kids, but it was those steps that you needed to take to say, okay, ultimately, I do want to have kids. Like, that's a really important decision that you need to decide for yourself. And, in fact, if you do want to have kids, kids are fucking expensive.
Kids are so expensive.
That's something you need to just, like, map out and plan for, because they're not only, like, and it's hard to get pregnant. I'll tell you all about my egg situation. Like, it's way harder than women think, and it's something that we should at least think about. Whatever the answer is, I don't care if you want to have kids, 10 kids or zero kids or raise cats, or I don't care what, as long as you're thinking about it and planning for that, that's going to lead you to the biggest success. Like we said, women who create cohesive narratives for themselves and for their lives are more likely to be successful. Studies show that time and time again. So just answer the question, what do you want? Like, that's all.
That's something that I've really been focusing on in the past few months, and I feel more than ever, like, more focused and in order with my career than I ever have, just because I know what I want for my whole life.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Because you get the question all the time, whether it's, like, from an in-laws, depending on where you are in your life, like an in-law or, like, a stranger in the elevator, like, oh, hey, it's a throwaway question, but it gave me the most anxiety ever until I answered it. It was like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in 5 years? Right. Or, like, what do you want to do for fun? Like, maybe you want to go alpaca farming, or maybe you want to go, like, helicopter skiing, or maybe you just want to, like, make a garden, whatever it is. Like, that stuff costs money, too. So what are those goals for your fun life? Mine were, like, to fly first class without using miles, like, or to spend $5,000 on clothing a year. Whatever it is, like, write it down so you know exactly what you're saving or spending on.
Yeah.
Did you have a question?
Go ahead, Mama.
I just like the steps.
Yeah, so wait, now this is three. What's four?
Like, wait, so have we answered these questions? You bitches are not getting away with
what
this.
What do you want?
Are we gonna go around the circle and say what we want?
Let's move to some personal questions.
So what do you want?
I want a family. I want to create a TV show, and I want to be happy. Is that a good
that's
answer?
Great.
Yeah,
that's great.
What I want.
How much does happiness cost?
And the more specific, the better.
Happiness is me. I don't know, really. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what happiness is to me.
When you mean, like, the more specificness, you know? like truly, like, how many kids do you want? What kind of TV show do you want to create? Like, that kind of thing.
Oh, I want 2 kids.
Yeah,
and,
great.
And I would like to create, like, a 30-minute comedy.
Great. I love that. And what does happiness mean to you? Does that mean traveling to Galapagos?
Well,
does that mean what?
That's something I'm still trying to figure out, because being happy is something I've struggled with my whole life. But I would say that I have enjoyed traveling. I have enjoyed taking care of myself. That makes me really happy. And that's, like, working out and eating healthier and spending time with people that care about me.
I love that. And that's so great.
That's really nice.
Thanks, well, what
guys.
Do you want?
I want to be married and to have 1 or 2 children. I don't know how exactly how many. 1 or 2, probably. And I want to have financial stability. I want to not have to worry about money, worry if I have enough. And I think I want just day-to-day stability. I guess my things are more abstract than Jilly's. Do they need to be more focused?
I think, you know, the more focused, the better for you to say, to actually hold yourself accountable. Because what I'm trying to tell all of you bitches and all of my rich bitches out there is that money is actually not about numbers and math. It's really about you and, like, what you want, and figuring that out first. Because some people will say, like, oh, Lapin, if I just had $1 million, like, I'd be so fine. And I'm like, whoa, what would you do with that $1 million?
I recently read a study that showed that people, that once you hit the $75,000 a year mark, anything above that actually doesn't change your happiness as a person. So, like, once you reach a certain literal financial number that you're making, anything beyond that point actually doesn't, like, alter your happiness that much.
Well, and I think the other issue is, like, what would you do with the money that you had? So, like, maybe you need more than $1 million. Like, maybe you need less than $1 million. But, like, let's figure out first what you want and then reverse engineer to figure out how to get the money to live the life you want.
Right. I guess I have to come up with some more definitive goals then. Because for me, and I think it's just tied into, like, personally how I feel, for me, it's like I'm always worried about security and like stability. And so I just want to have enough money just so that I know that it's there. So like in an emergency or something, I don't know.
If the world, if America blows up, you know what I mean? Wants to be able to leave first. Just,
I do, but
it's
like
this weird but what sense does of that security
mean?
Thing.
What security, what does security mean to you then? Because what ends up happening with women especially is like we can say, oh, we want, you know, 100 grand in the bank, that would make me happy. And then when that happens, it's like, maybe 150 or whatever.
Right. I don't know.
And then also, like, just generally having a year's savings, if you have sort of a precarious job, is really important before doing anything else. So, like, before, when people ask me, like, oh, how can I save for a house? I'm like, whoa. Do you have, like, 6 to 9 months if you have a steady job of savings just, like, chilling with you not touching it? And they're like, like, you can't go to the supermarket if you lose your job, or if God forbid something happens, if a family member gets sick or whatever, and buy groceries with a mortgage or a 401k. Like, you need some liquid cash chilling before you do anything else, before you invest, before you whatever.
Definitely.
Right.
Greta.
What do you want?
Do you want to answer this?
I want to, in my future, I want to be happy with someone. I want to have like a life partner person. Awesome. I'm in a really happy relationship right now, which has been actually really good for me because I feel like it's helped me be a more successful person. So like I see the payoff and like envisioning something that you want and then like having to be a better narrative for your life, like you're saying. And then I just want to... you know, I'm a comedian and I want to be a really, really, really successful comic and writer, and I want to create movies, and that's what I want to do. And I want that, like, that desire trumps right now my desire to have a family. That being said, I think that I could envision myself having getting a lot of joy from having children, and I could imagine myself being like a very good mother. It's just maybe hard for me right now to like visualize a point in my life where I would feel ready for that. Like
totally.
So many things would need to happen for me before I think I would feel prepared to be a mother, because I was raised by a mom that was a workaholic. Both my parents worked in politics, and my mom was, work was her number one. Not like she didn't love us so much, but I really want to be like a super hands-on mom. And I think that I want to be in a place with my career where I would feel like I could put that on pause for a second to like focus on being a mother. Does that make sense?
Totally. I love that.
Because like I was raised by a ton of babysitters and nannies. And not like it wasn't great. It was amazing. But I want to be able to be like a bit more
involved.
Hands-on. If I were to have kids.
And that does that helps you so much as you're thinking about what you want to do for your career too. Because you want to get to a place also in your career, it sounds like, where you can't. These goals in these three Fs need to be compatible. You can't be want to be a brain surgeon or and be a full-time mom. Like it just it doesn't work. Or you can't fly private and be a teacher. Like in your fun life, if that's your goal to like fly around in G5, like you can't. I'm sorry. Like I wish teachers made more, but those like goals are not compatible. So it's about figuring out like how to reconcile those goals for yourself. And so that will dictate a lot about your career. Like when and if you do decide, which is a personal thing, whatever you do and whatever makes you happy. But that changes like what your career situation is. And if you want to be that type of mom, then.
And I also do recognize what we were saying. Having children is so expensive. And like, I want to be, if I do have children, I want to be able to provide them with the luxuries I had as a child, which was I had a great education and I you know, I always had food for me, and I always had a home, right, and like a comfortable home, and I always had clothes, and I always had, you know, and I had the luxury of having like an extracurricular, like I got to dance growing up, and like I want to be able to give that to my children, and I recognize that all of those things are luxuries. And, like, I want to give that to my kids if I ever have them.
That's awesome. And, like, the more of that detail stuff, the more you can think about holistically, right?
Yeah, and now I look at my bank account, and I'm like, well, that my bank account says $500, so...
Time to start those sub-bank accounts.
I know. I'm going to make sub-bank accounts all my fake children's names.
Seriously. That's so cute. That's a great idea. I've never heard that before.
I should, just for all my fake kids.
Yes.
Give them, like, really strange names, like Feather.
I already
like
want
Avalon.
A name.
That's so good.
Did you say an Babylon?
Avalon, but we can go Avalon. With Babylon. Feather Avalon's and Babylon.
Good. Feather and my children, Feather and Babylon.
Avalon's good. So I amazing. Think I want all of our listeners to go out and check out Nicole's book to get all of the 12 steps.
And but to ask themselves the questions of what do they want?
Yeah, what do they want? But before we talk about your eggs, because I want to talk about your eggs.
You got it.
What is your best advice? What is, you know, like the question that you get asked the most often? You know, like what, like if somebody is making, you know, like
if I'm making $36,000
right,
a year,
if you're making $36,000,
how do I save? That's what I don't understand.
What should you be doing?
I think that the biggest thing that surprises me is that people don't negotiate anything. And it's not just your salary, it's your medical bills, which gets people in a lot of trouble. It's your cell phone bill, it's your credit card APR. Like, it drives me bananas. I just did a segment with Dr. Oz where I went into this cell phone store with this woman who I was in her ear, like on a, you know, in an earpiece, telling her what to say to the person. She got $100 off of her cell phone bill by like staying at it, being a dog on a bone, and saving $1,200 a year. Then we called her credit card company. Yeah. We called her credit card company and she's like, what do you mean, Nicole? Like, it says that I have a whatever it was, 14.5% APR. Like, it says it on the paper. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Did you ask for a lower rate? She's like, I didn't know you could ask for that. I'm like, what do you mean? You didn't know.
I don't know.
Pick them up. The phone.
Everything's negotiable with that.
Pick up the phone and ask.
Sometimes they have deals where you can lower your credit for like in the next year, blah, blah, blah.
See, credit is another thing. I have a credit card and whatever, and I have fine credit. I pay off my bill, whatever, it's fine. I try not to use my credit card all the time because I know myself, and if I were to just fucking swipe that thing all the time, I'd be in crazy financial debt, be in like financial ruin. But I don't even know the first thing about calling my credit card company and lowering my APR.
Let's go back to this. Yes. Like what?
Well, first of all, when you're starting that budget, don't, you know, the 15% of like extras or whatever, I would say take that out in cash to start out. So you like when the green cash or gift card or whatever is over, the party's over. Because it's easy to keep swiping, like especially when you're drunk. And
my mom always told me that
you're like,
when you
for
go,
everyone.
Well, she would say that the best way that she was able to like start monitoring her spending was in cash, because like you can actually see it,
it's
leaving
tangible.
Your fucking wallet.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd swipe. So, yes, calling your credit card companies. I got 2% off her credit card, which is more money that she is going to save, depending on how much money you have in credit card debt. That is huge in terms of interest, that people are just sitting there and being like, oh, yeah, it's on a piece of paper. Like, it comes to my house in a fucking envelope. Like, it's same thing goes with medical bills. Like, all of it is negotiable. These folks will throw you a bone versus losing you as a customer. Hands down, cable companies, like, the worst thing they can say is no.
Yeah.
But more often than not, you'll be like, oh, my friend is going to like Verizon, or my friend is going to Visa or whatever. And like, they have a lower rate. Like, I'm leaving if you don't give this to me. Huh. And then you keep asking. And like, literally, I have a video of it. Like, I did the same thing for my cable company and got more shit and like money off. And then they're like, okay, talk to a manager. You know, just keep at it. It takes a half an hour and like, you save so much more money.
Wow.
I definitely, the credit card thing was, I've started lowering my interest every time I call. I'm like, oh, can I get a lower interest rate?
Jill, you're so smart.
I'm really smart. That's good.
I didn't know that.
I like him. I'm actually really good at speaking to credit card companies.
Good for you.
I've lowered my APR a few times. Yeah.
That's great.
All right. So I really like that advice. So everybody should do. I'm going to do that when you guys
leave. Just negotiate. Well, I actually plan on that advice. I always think when anyone says no to me, I'm always like, no,
no means
that's
yes.
not, that's not, yeah, exactly. No, like, I'm going to fight this until I'm literally getting dragged out.
I love that. So Nicole's book is available pretty much everywhere because it's a New York Times bestseller. It's called Rich Bitch. And you guys should definitely check it out to get the rest of her 12-step plan, which we got the just initial taste. And your advice is like so genius.
Yeah. I'm gonna read it.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to read it on my flight to LA tomorrow because I really like my finances stress me out all the fucking time. And my uncle like really helps me a lot with my finances. And whenever we like sit down, he's like,
better, right?
Yes, but I'm struck with such insane anxiety because like I know that I need to manage my money better and like be more of an adult about my money management.
I feel like every person in the land feels that way.
I know.
It's even if you have all the money in the world and like guys that do it for you, you still feel like you could do it better.
I know.
Right?
I think that's true.
It gives everybody hands down anxiety. Like you're not alone. I also still freak out. Like the best remedy to that is just like dealing with it and looking at it, and it becomes not scary anymore. It's like anything else taboo.
Yeah.
Is actually just,
right. Like diving into the tsunami head first. Like, just fucking go. Do it.
Because there's a study, and I don't remember the exact number of how many hours we spend searching a vacation online
than actually going on the vacation.
I don't know, 10 or 12 hours, whatever, versus like how much we actually look up any financial shit. Like how many hours have you spent Googling a 401k or an IRA or anything?
Literally none. And it's
because
so
it's
fucked.
Scary.
I should. I don't know shit. I was literally considering going and doing like a tax class at H&R Block. I'm not kidding you.
Well, it sounds like you're down with the taxes.
I'm down with the taxes just as I'm paranoid and don't want to go to jail. That's like the only reason.
Literally.
There's like a threat to my life. But anyway.
You got this, girl.
I think
you got this.
Yeah, let's explore.
Yes. Yay. Today's exploration is something really interesting that I'm very interested in because you froze your eggs.
I did.
So this isn't traditional sex exploring, but it is it's a very important discussion for women because I think that it's a really important topic and a really valuable option.
Right. And tell us your story, Nicole.
Yes. It's interesting to me because I could have been having a lot more unprotected sex. Not like I shouldn't have been having unprotected sex from like an STD standpoint, but like from a getting pregnant standpoint, it's really hard to get pregnant. Like depending on your own personal fertility, the movies that show like, oh, it was their first time and he sort of came on her leg or whatever and she got pregnant. Right. Like that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
It happened to my sister. Not that she got come on her leg, but she got pregnant like first try.
Yeah, same with my friend.
So it happens.
It does happen.
I agree with you.
But it's not the default.
It's very difficult for many women.
It's difficult for a lot of women, and it's depending on your age, too, it changes factors.
Yeah.
So it's always good to learn more about your fertility. So going through this process taught me a lot more about my fertility. Like,
how old are you?
I'm 32. And so and my mother and her mother went through menopause early. So that shortens like your runway for having kids. Mm. And then when you go and check your levels, you can tell like sort of where you are, like how many resting eggs you have and all sorts of technical shit. But it really just freezes the clock and puts it on ice. Literally, it just like puts that shit on ice because I was baby, 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 baby crazy, like so baby crazy for the last couple of years. Like when I turned 30 and Lo went to my 30th birthday party, I was like, all of a sudden I became like a babies, 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 babies all the time.
Right.
And my boyfriend of now 5 years on and off, and relationships are so complicated.
Definitely.
Yes, you need a man. Like, you technically need his sperm to have a kid, but you should be able to take more control in this sense and say, like, okay, well, if you're not going to decide you want this, like, I can still, if things don't work out with us in a few years, like, I'm still going to have my 31-year-old eggs, and those are, like, the healthiest, most awesome eggs. And even if I never use them, it's an insurance policy that I'm never going to be able to get back later on. Or even if I do have kids naturally, which I do want to have, like, maybe I want to have 4 kids. Like, maybe I have the first 3 naturally, but then I go through menopause or, like, I'm closed for business. That's why, like, thinking ahead to what you want or how many kids you want and mm-hmm. putting eggs on ice is super, super important. The younger, the better.
So I just have a real quick question. When you are decide to freeze your eggs, what is the process of that? Like you, because you're definitely putting hormones in your body, and you're definitely adding other stuff to your body.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Did that scare you at all? Maybe steer you away from wanting to do it at any point?
Yeah. So I heard about shots and stuff, and I was like, "Fuck, you have to put shots in your belly, like
what?
To
you
give."
Do?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I give myself a shot in the leg every week and it sucks.
I was not down with that situation, but little did I know like how complicated it actually was. And I'm sort of glad when I signed up for it. It's so expensive. The medicine is ridiculous. It was like $14,000.
Insurance does not cover it.
There are a lot of tech companies that are paying for it, like Google and Facebook, and stuff like that, which cuts.
If you're an employee at Google, they'll pay for you to freeze your eggs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can be a slave to them for so much longer.
Hey, I don't care what the reason is. I would like totally take that.
I think it's amazing, and I think it's an incredible thing. Yeah. And I think that it's something that does need to be funded.
But it's not an easy process. Like, it's a really tough emotional process. It's a really tough financial process. It's a really tough physical process. I went in and I signed up to do it. I was like, let's just do it, because you have to start on the third day of your period. Okay. And I went for a consultation at UCLA, and it happened to be the third day of my period. And so I was like, this is a sign. Let's just go. Let's go now. It's never a good time. I had like work travel. I had like shows that I was on. And yeah. I was like, there's never a good time to do this. Like, let's just start it. And so I paid the first round of shots. I'll never forget was this box that came to my house that was $5,000.
Oh my God.
In like a refrigerated box thing. And I was like, this is like the most expensive package I'm ever getting. And there's no turning back now, because like you can't return the shots. So you have to go to this thing called shot school, which is like the nurse teaches you how to do it. So like it's not only putting shots in your belly, like several of them a night, but it's taking a vials and like mixing them.
Yeah. Whoa. I don't even mean the process. I just mean the actual what you're putting inside. Did that freak you out? Like the fact that you're adding more hormones to your body.
Yeah, dude, I'm hormonal enough, but yeah.
And some people say that that's not, you know, the best thing. How do the doctors handle that?
Affect your emotions?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, it's emotional anyway, because you're reconciling what you wanted your life to be. So like what I wanted to already be married and have kids. And my boyfriend, wasn't down with that. And that was devastating to me. And so I was already dealing with all of those emotions. And then, you know, on top of it, you're like happy and then, you know, crying and whatever. And like it's totally an emotional roller coaster. And once you get into it, like with the hormones and stuff, I'm vegan. And so I was like, some people got really sick. I had cravings. Like, it's weird. Everybody reacts a little bit differently. I had colonics after. And I am like a regular colonic person. I know you talked about poop.
Cassie is
my girl.
Love you, Cassie.
But the craziest, like, crazy. It's like after people were like, after you have chemo, you have like the craziest colonics of like black or like yellow.
Yeah, there's stuff in your body that's crazy.
How long were you on the hormones for?
Like 3 weeks, and then probably you have a calendar that you have to stick to, and you change doses and you add medicines and stuff like that for like maybe 10 days, and then you have the surgery. You have a trigger shot, which is the night before the.
What is the purpose of the hormones?
So it's like a month process to grow your eggs. You grow a bunch of eggs.
To grow new eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. You grow your resting eggs, and then you grow as many eggs as you can, and then they retrieve them.
Oh, shit.
So it's like a month process? It's like 3 weeks, probably.
Okay. And then I thought for some odd reason, in my mind, I thought it was like a 6 month to a year thing.
Mm-mm. Maybe that's for like IVF.
This is like half an IVF cycle. That's really what it is.
So okay. What is...
For IVF, you have to freeze your eggs.
So when they go in and they retrieve the eggs, how do they do that?
Yeah, it's surgery. Like, you go under, you're under anesthesia. Yeah, you have somebody...
But do they go in vaginally?
Is it laparoscopically?
Yeah.
Like, through your belly button?
No, it's through your vag.
Ah!
I don't know what happened. I was sleeping. Give me more propofol.
So after that, in my brain, I'm envisioning like caviar.
Me
envisioning
too.
Like my
tiny eggs,
my body's caviar on ice.
How many eggs do they take out?
So here's the thing. I talk about everything, like the most taboo shit. And the only thing I will not talk about is how many eggs, because for every woman it's different. And so like,
what does that mean? Can you give us a ballpark? Is it like 1 or like 100?
No. So
I just have no concept.
Around generally like 10.
Okay.
Got it. But like, you don't sometimes ever want to say how many, because other women could have different.
Yeah. Okay. I have a girlfriend who's 40 and got like 27 or something, and I have a girlfriend who's like in her 30s who got like 4.
Yeah. So it just depends on how your body reacts and like what your body.
Yeah. All
right. Okay. Yeah. Because in my mind, I'm like, is it 1 egg?
Yeah.
Is
right.
It 100 eggs.
Right. One egg is not great. Like, that means you have a lot of process to go through. And the more and more you talk about it, the more you realize people are dealing with.
Definitely.
You know, infertility and IVF and like, you know, surrogacy and IUIs and like.
I have a lot of friends. Actually, I have like friends that just had a child through surrogacy.
Yeah. And like trying, and you have those different options, but you don't know until you go in and see, like, do you have enough eggs or not?
So I'm turning 30 this year. Do I need to like march myself down to the fertility doctor and be like, hi, like, do I need to get my shit checked out?
You don't need to do anything, honey. But if you, I
think it
say
depends
yes.
when you want to have kids.
Oh my
like
God,
if you and your,
you say yes?
If you and your boyfriend don't want to, if you don't see yourself having kids till you're 38, maybe freeze your eggs. If you see yourself having kids in a year, maybe don't. You know what I mean?
I think
it really depends on what you want from your life and like when you want to have children.
Yeah.
For you right now.
I guess just, I mean, like facing the like question of our own fertility is like just kind of.
Also, like, it's about like the younger we are, not like, I don't want to use the term better.
They're healthier.
But yeah, you have healthier
young,
eggs.
Healthy
eggs. Look, my mom had me when she was 36 and I'm perfect. So I know friends that moms had them when they were 45 and they're fine.
Yeah.
It's just like the point is, why risk it? If you don't have to. If you have the luxury of being able to freeze your eggs at a young age, great.
And you're okay with the process of it. It's not like it's an easy process. It's not like it's, okay, I'm just going to go have surgery and they're going to take out eggs. Like, there's definitely like a process to it.
I'm also just kidding. I'm not perfect. I have high fat retention in my lower stomach.
Me too.
You're so pretty and perfect. But also,
really,
your boyfriend or whoever's boyfriend, like, women get such a bad rap for having like kids that have autism and other issues, developmental or otherwise, the older we are. But studies have shown that it's actually the older man's sperm is.
Right.
So like, tell them to freeze it. They just have to.
Yeah, they need to freeze
cup.
Their
so
sperm
easy.
Too, and they can just fucking jizz all over the place and it'll
it's
feel
so
good.
It's so easy, and it's like,
ugh.
You can freeze sperm too.
Yes.
You should.
Whoa.
Touching and they get to orgasm.
You are someone that is older.
Yeah.
Why not?
What?
Yeah. I said, and I get to orgasm.
Yeah. It's not fun for us. It's like colonics
need to, like,
for days.
And then it's like, I need to like shoot myself in the stomach 900 times a day, and then I need to go under, and then I need to be nauseous from going under, and then I need to get all the shit cleansed out of my system. Guys can just go and fucking jerk it to some shit, go in a cup, and have it be fine.
All right.
Amen, sister. That's exactly right.
So
drop
men, freeze your sperm, men.
All right.
Yeah. If we have any male listeners, if there's one male listener out there.
But ladies should really talk to dudes about this, because guys will think like, oh, the older a woman is. But by the way, if you like my frozen 31-year-old eggs, if I use them like after 40, then they're fine. They're
right.
When you get them out, they're totally fine. It's now it's the dude's job.
Right.
Do you know where your eggs are living right
now? Yeah, they're chilling at UCLA.
Oh, cool.
They're just hanging out.
Cool.
Like, your future children are already intelligent.
Can you go and check on them?
Not totally sure, but one of the things that gave me most anxiety was signing up for the amount of years, because you can sign up. I signed up for 7 years, which was the max. And so you sort of think, you really have to think, like, how long am I going to need these here?
So, then, so wait, what happens after 7 years? They throw them away.
They never throw them away. They're so valuable.
For and research, also, for everything.
Or you can give them to people who need them. Or it's interesting, like, after you die, like, when you have that thing on your license, like an organ donor.
You can be
like
an egg donor. Oh, those are.
Because women need, like, think about, like, young women who get paid $20,000 or whatever to freeze their eggs for people who need eggs.
Well, my sister went to Penn, and we were talking about how there used to be people that would advertise, like, around campus being, like,
totally
looking for Ivy League Ivy League educated women to give their eggs, blah, 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 blah. And it's crazy, but like it's real.
Yeah.
So really,
and they pay a lot of money.
My last question.
Yes, ma'am.
Once. Okay. So say you're at a point where you want to fertilize one of the eggs. Do you implant the egg back inside of you fertilized, or do you? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So you can freeze either eggs or embryos. So if you know, if you're married and you know you want to have kids with this person, it's better to freeze embryos. They last, they're like stronger to last. Or you can freeze eggs and I can fertilize them with whoever. Then it's like, so that's why this is the first part of an IVF cycle. The second half is fertilizing them and reinserting them. But not all of them can stick. That's why you only need one good one, but like they don't survive. And
so then you would need to fertilize the egg and then put the fertilized egg back inside
vagina.
Got it.
Yep.
So then whoever you choose to be the father of your child would then need to donate sperm.
That's right.
And then that sperm is used to fertilize that egg.
That's right. Or you can go to a sperm bank.
Cool.
Or it might not work.
And or maybe you get pregnant naturally. Maybe.
Maybe.
Right, but my point is about the egg, is that if you're using one of the frozen eggs, that's how it's
fertilized. So it's fertilized outside of the human body.
Right. That's right. And yeah, there have been like anecdotal cases from my amazing fertility doctor who've said like there are women who are 25 or whatever and can't get pregnant, and they do the process and it's their husband's sperm that can't fertilize the eggs.
Yeah, God, so I love how there's checking. So much guilt so much on variables. Women. There's so much guilt on women, though, that like it's me because we for some reason just assume that all men are fertile. Like men should get their fertility checked too. And absolutely. Maybe if you're having a really hard time getting pregnant, you should go in and look and see if your partner is fertile.
And the same type of woman, an old, like you'd think that stereotypically like an older woman who doesn't get as many eggs, like went to a sperm bank and got, because they screen the sperm at sperm banks like really well. She could fertilize those eggs and she was older when she extracted the eggs versus the younger woman with bad spermy husband who couldn't do it. So yeah, it's dudes. Like that's the other, like it's up to you guys now. Like I did this.
Right. And so fascinating. Yeah. All right. I think it's time for Lady Lovin'. Nicole.
Lady Lovin'.
Who's your Lady Lovin'?
Who's your lady admire?
I love all ladies.
Gosh, I admire so many ladies. And I talk about, and my new book is coming out in March.
What's your new book called?
Yay, Boss Bitch.
Yeah.
And so I'm finishing editing it up. And I talk about a lot of boss ladies. Sarah Blakely.
She's
my
best.
Fave. Totally. She's also an awesome husband, Jesse Itzler. And so she started Spanx. She talked about the idea that she didn't know, like totally self-made, didn't know what an exit strategy was when she was raising money. She thought it was like, she thought, why is everybody asking me about this exit strategy thing? And she's like, to look good, to have my ass look good leaving a room. And guys were like, what? And like an exit strategy is how you exit a company, like by selling it or whatever. But she like literally didn't know. And she's
just
super
like
straight up about it.
Work.
Totally.
I love that.
Cool.
That's a good one.
I agree. Love her.
Awesome. Yeah, so great. Nicole, where can listeners find you?
Well, hopefully at your pad for a little while hanging out with a doggy. But after that on the social medias, at Nicole Lappin on like everything. I just joined Snapchat. I feel so dumb.
No, don't feel dumb.
It's confusing for us.
And buy your book. Is your book by any chance available on like Audible or one of those sites?
I read my whole book. It was like really actually.
I'm going to do that. I love a book on tape.
Oh, yeah, you should do that cool. on your flight.
So your book's available everywhere. Rich
everywhere.
Bitch.
Everywhere.
By Nicole Lappin.
Yeah, if you go to my website, I'll sign it for you and send it to you.
Oh,
so
awesome.
NicoleLappin.com.
Love that.
Yay. Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much
for coming on the show.
Thank you.